As you know, Pastor Anna is on vacation. Today is the last day. So if you have any pastoral care concerns or emergencies, contact Council President Lynn Dennis. Tomorrow night, the Lutheran Men in Mission will have supper meal meeting at 7 p.m. at the church.
July 12th, Church Council
will be meeting at 7 p.m. in the office complex. A reminder that Ty Heitman is working on his Eagle Scout project this summer by cleaning and updating our covered shelter. He's accepting donations to help with the costs. Also, the scholarship committee is continuing to sell raffle tickets for our gift card basket that will be given away next week. You can see me after the service if you're interested, or you can see me next week. The Bible study, you can join Pastor Anna in the Bible study each Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Fellowship Hall. A Zoom link is also going to be made available. For our birthdays this week, Eddie and Tina Heitman, Paul and Carolina Conrad, Max and Libby Carrick. Are there any other announcements? Okay, we do have a prayer shawl. And is it Brandon or Bracken? Baby or Bracken? Okay, this prayer shawl made by Gyla Kepley. It is for baby girl Bracken. I am not sure the backstory on this. So if anybody knows, but we will send this around and we will bless it as we normally do. All right, let's go ahead and pray for our birthdays and our anniversary celebrations. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Please stand if you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole.
blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign.
God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth and to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may be yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults, for the Lord will not reject forever. Although He causes grief, He will have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love, for He does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cry out to you, and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall not be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor made me strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, and so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, we don't have too many children here today, but I'm going to do the children's sermon anyway. So, Well, how we do have? Okay, we got Calvin here. I'm sorry. Well, Calvin, we're gonna go stand up in the aisle out toward the middle of everybody. That be okay? Be sure to walk back. Okay, let's step up this way. So, Calvin, I've got a bag here, and I didn't bring my lunch. I was gonna tell everybody I brought my lunch because I had a long sermon, but I didn't figure they'd appreciate that. So today in our gospel lesson, we heard about the power of touch. So I'm going to give you a little test, okay? So what I'm going to do is, in a minute, I'm going to have you reach your hand in here, and I'm going to have you pull something out with your eyes closed, and I'm going to let you touch it for a couple of seconds, and I'm going to let you tell me what it is, okay? All right, you ready? All right. That's all right. Go ahead and pull it out. You show everybody and keep your eyes closed. All right. Feel. Okay. A little more specific. Put both hands on it. Feel all over it. Mm-hmm.
Is that a pencil?
It is. It's a pencil. There you go. You're one for one. Okay. All right. Reach in there. Let's grab something else. Keep your eyes closed. All the way down to the bottom.
It is a ball.
Mm-hmm. Hit it with a racket. There you go. It's a tennis ball. Two for two. All right. They get a little tougher now. There's three more things in here. Okay. I'm going to sort of guide you on this one. Here you go. Right there. Got it? Shake it around. Yep, it's pills. It's just my allergy medicine. Okay. All right, I'm going to hand you this one. Hold your hands out. Let's see if you got this one. Close your eyes. Don't cheat.
String? Wait, no. A headband.
Okay.
Headband.
Close.
Like a bracelet?
Close. Stretch it out a little further.
Oh, rubber band.
There you go. It's a rubber band. All right, and the last one's a tough one. All right, I'll set it out for you. Hold your hands out. Wasn't that tough, I guess?
It's a bead necklace.
Bead necklace, you're right. Mardi Gras beads. Okay? So, even though Calvin couldn't see and have any idea what was inside of here, he knew what it was by sense of touch. Because he didn't open his eyes. Did anybody see him open his eyes? So, he did a great job. So, Calvin, what our lesson today has with that is the power of touch. And if you heard our lesson, there was a lady that was sick, and she was bleeding, and she had been bleeding for years. And she had faith that if she just but touched the cloak of Jesus' robe, that she would be healed. And she did. She had that great faith, and she believed. And what happened?
She got healed.
She got healed, that's right. So, have faith. Two simple words. And he inferred that to Jairus as well when his daughter was sick. So never forget the power of touch. Things that we don't see, but we can feel, we can know, and we can understand just if we believe. So let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for our amazing senses that we can see and touch, smell, taste, and hear, and know that you are faithful to us and continue to love us. Keep growing our faith and make us better. In your holy name, amen. Calvin, thank you. So a few Sundays ago, I was over at St. Michael in High Point, and I had to do the same thing. The oldest child in the congregation was 38 years old that day. So sometimes that happens. Okay. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to the one true God, who is full of grace, mercy, and compassion, even when we do nothing to deserve it. Amen. Good morning. I'm glad to be back up here with you today. Last week, Pastor Anna shared that Jesus and the disciples had passed over to the Sea of Galilee to the Gentile side, to the other side. In today's gospel, Jesus returns to the Jewish side, or the Hebrew side, and will eventually heal two daughters of Israel. As we're looking at how Jesus was received in his own land, we've heard that Jesus was not accepted that well by the religious leaders in these opening chapters of the book of Mark. Biblical studies professor Emerson Powery writes that Jesus was not opposed by all of the Jewish leadership, though. Jairus, a religious leader whose name in Hebrew means God enlightens, was a good example of this. He sought out Jesus, the healer, to help his daughter who was very ill. But we learn fairly early on that Jesus' path to Jairus' house was interrupted by a crowd, specifically a crowd with an unnamed woman who approached Jesus secretly. She was hemorrhaging blood. Doctors couldn't heal her. Mark, in this, wants his readers to interpret these two accounts together in light of each other. He uses a sandwich technique. He starts out with the story of Jairus' daughter and then moves to the woman and then back to Jairus' daughter. Mark uses this specifically when he's dealing with texts that deal with women in the Bible. There's quite a few of these encounters with women that Jesus has as he moves around and eventually turns his face to Jerusalem. Back to our woman in the story. She's pretty bold. She approached Jesus secretly. She didn't have a male sponsor or an escort with her compared to Jairus' daughter. Her bleeding condition was one that could be perceived as a sign of impurity, as a reference to Leviticus chapter 15. And that could have cut her off from not only the religious community in the area, but also from any kind of financial stability with a job. In light of this, she may not have had much of a choice but to act so daringly. There are other women, some throughout American history, who've had to act in this manner to retain human dignity. Phyllis Wheatley published poems under the scrutiny of men such as Thomas Jefferson, Immanuel Kant, and numerous intellectuals and political leaders of the time. Jerina Lee, the first ordained female minister, pursued her God-given call to preach. Elizabeth Cady Stanton faced jail time for pushing for the right to vote for women. And Rosa Parks wouldn't give up her seat on the bus. Each of these women met tremendous backlash in their society. And yes, even from some of the churches and religious followers and leaders throughout the country for their actions. So a bold act, believing, if I could but touch his clothes, I will be made well. Knowing the obstacles that faced her in society and even within the Hebrew church. But then she approaches Jesus with fear and trembling, falling down before him, telling him that she was indeed the one who had touched his clothes. The phrase leap of faith certainly does apply here. Maybe many of the religious leaders around thought that Jesus was going to scold her for being an impure woman. But, as we know, his response is, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is yet another example of God's faithfulness to us throughout the Old Testament, the Gospel, and the rest of the New Testament. Soon after Jesus' healing of the woman, we return back to Jairus and the journey to his house. Since there was a delay, time for Jesus to heal and to converse with the unnamed woman, it's reported to Jairus that his daughter has died. So while he was still speaking, referring to the words of the affirmation and confirmation to the woman whose faith had made her well, bad news arrives. Your daughter has died. But Jesus' reaction seemed to be rather calm instead of remorseful, saying, "Do not fear, only believe." Jesus is putting a challenge out there to Jairus to hold on to his faith, a faith that led him to Jesus in the first place. Jesus also takes further action. He reduces the number of witnesses to 3, Peter, James, and John, an inner group that Jesus would also be with to receive special revelations, the Transfiguration, and at Gethsemane. Later, Jesus even puts all those that laughed at him when he said, "She is not dead, but asleep," puts all of them out of the house and only has the immediate family and Peter, James, and John in there when he heals the girl. Then, our tremendous Lord and Savior, even after these 2 miracles, orders everyone in the room that no one should say anything about it. Keep this a secret? Really? So without a doubt, this keeping leaders and others away from seeing this miracle caused a great stir within the religious and the community leaders. Doesn't this sound like an example of removing bad for the benefit of the good? That's what we face in life, and sometimes difficult decisions of removing bad for the benefit of the good. Speaking of that, I've read an article a couple of weeks ago about health habits. I usually skip over those, but this one specifically caught my eye. It said, "A glass of Coca-Cola, ice cold Coca-Cola a day might be bad for your health." Guilty. And it said, "A glass of ice cold coffee might be bad for your health." Sometimes guilty. And while that might be bad news for most of us, we still have to find and understand the reason that they're bad for us so we can deal with it. So I ask myself, why are these things unhealthy to us? What do they have in common? Caffeine? Possibly. They're liquid. Yep. Not the reason. I'd put 2 and 2 together. It's the ice. Problem solved. Life goes on. Well, this viewpoint, of course, includes slightly twisted facts and logic. Unlike our first reading in Lamentations and the gospel lesson for today, it's quite simple. Those 2 scripture readings have a lot in common: lament and faith. So Lamentations, the root word of Lamentations is of course lament, which is defined in the dictionary both as a verb and as a noun. As a verb, it says it's to have or express very sad feelings about somebody or something. And as a noun, it was a song or a poem in which you express very sad feelings about someone who has died or about something that has ended. So the book of Lamentations is exactly that poem. It's set during the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem. Though not specifically mentioned in the Bible, most biblical scholars say that it was the prophet Jeremiah that wrote it. And he seems to cast blame for the captivity and delivery to their enemies onto the people of Israel for their lack of faith in God. Seems to be a repetitive story in the Old Testament and beyond. Even so, the writer does give foundations for our hymn of the day that Amy Horn chose for us, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," which I'll return to shortly. Myself, I cannot imagine the burden and despair of losing a child like Jairus was facing. I cannot imagine the despair the woman had as she reached out to Jesus. The most despair and grief-stricken I've ever been in my life started Friday, February 4th, 1980. Good Friday that year began with the news that my papa had died. My heart hurt, and it still does. He was my buddy. He was my protector, my hero, and the man I hope at least part of me has become. But we all experience grief, and we do all ask why. Why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen? We place blame, like Jeremiah did, instead of expressing what our faith should guide us to do. But Jeremiah's placing blame was at the right source, the people, not God. So though it was difficult to say goodbye to my papa on a cold Easter afternoon, God's faithfulness to me is that I have all those memories of sitting on the plow and weighing it down, sitting on his lap driving that old Ford Red Belly tractor. I have those memories. In life, we face uncertainty. We face loss, anxiety, and other obstacles that seem too formidable for us to battle. We want to curl up and hide. We want the situation to go away without having to deal with it. But that's not the way our faithful lives are meant to be. We're meant to stand up, be strong, be resilient, and to have hope through our faith. I rejoice in the gift of mercy and grace that God provides to lift me out of despair and to celebrate homecomings of our saints that have departed. It takes time, sometimes years, to understand God's plan. But I wait and I work toward being an active and faithful child of God. God's faithfulness to the people of God may not be immediate, though, and there may be a period of waiting and hope for the salvation of the Lord. But waiting can be a great foundation that teaches us an important truth. Just like the lyrics of a song sung in the middle 19th century by African-American slaves and former slaves that include the line, God may not come to you when you call him, but he'll be there right on time. Through despair and lament, there is hope in our sovereign God. Our sovereign God is a loving parent, watches over us night and day. While we're sleeping and when we're awake, our sovereign God pours out his blessings on us both when we are at our best and when we fall way short. No one knew this better than Martin Luther, who wrote these words that Lutherans have sung for years, though they've been translated a little bit differently since then. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. God's love, compassion, and endless mercy is continual, unchanging, and dependable. Something we can count on when everything around us seems to be falling apart. Turning to God, we grow stronger in faith and all the more confident to face the uncertainties of the future. Pardon for our sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see, all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Lines of a hymn that we'll be singing here in a few minutes. The steadfast faithfulness God shows toward a people who have sinned and fall short of his glory is unbelievable. It's believably unbelievable to us. Though I like to think it's more apt to say it's unbelievably believable as we hear, learn, share, and care for the whole of God's people in this world. That's what a faithful people do with the opportunities given daily. Have faith. Share your faith with those inside and outside of our church, in our community, at work, and wherever God's call leads you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of hope, the ministry of your church extends across borders, from nearby neighbors to far and distant countries. Accompany all those who labor eagerly in service of the gospel, that through your good news, all might experience transformation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the air we breathe, the water we drink, the land that provides our food. Guard all species of plants and animals from harsh changes in climate, and empower us to protect all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Righteous God, we pray for nations and their leaders. Give them a spirit of compassion and steer them towards a fair distribution of resources, that none among us would have too much or too little. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of healing, your touch has the power to make us whole. We pray for those who are suffering from physical or mental illness. Embrace those who are sick and in grieving, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, the Heitman family, and Jimmy, as well as those in the bulletin and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our heart. Surround them with your unwavering presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this assembly and all those gathered together in worship. We revive our spirits, renew our relationships, and rekindle our faith that we might experience resurrection in this community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the faithful ancestors in every age whose lives have pointed us towards you. Envelop them in your love, that with all your saints we may be reunited with one another in the last days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to greet those around you with God's peace. It's with you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right in our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We
Mighty and merciful God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal our sick, the suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on this cross opened his arms to all. Last week when we gathered for communion, Pastor Anna said the words, "In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me.' Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me.' Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us with this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And now we share our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.